Hi all, thank you very much for having me. I'm an early career researcher, so I am very excited and honored to be included in this panel, especially because I've read most of your works and inspired, and they inspired me in my own writing. I'd like also to include Alex Hinton, who is not on this panel, whose works in psychological anthropology and emotions and violence have also created this path. So my undergrad training was in psychology, and I studied psychology in Jakarta, Indonesia, also 20 years ago. And back then, I was convinced that I was going to be a clinical psychologist. I had no other ideas beyond that. And most of the textbooks that we read back then were in English, and they comprised of studies that were carried out by psychologists primarily based in Western countries, and drew on contexts that were far away from where we were. But at that time, I don't recall sitting in a seminar, at least not at the bachelor level, where the issue of context, which means social, cultural, geographical, historical, or other contexts, was earnestly debated. The lack of reflexivity did not worry me at that time. I was just excited learning about the various terms and concepts that were new to me. It was a code to decipher the human condition and psychopathology and treatment. So it was that gateway for me to understand what is going on in the world. After graduating, I worked at the first non-governmental organizations in Indonesia providing psychological care. And it was there when the issue of context, and particularly culture, started to play a significant role. In short, the intriguing concepts that I learned during my studies were often difficult to apply in the everyday language of counseling in non-Western settings. And this challenge became harder to shake off when I worked in Aceh, where I worked within a project that facilitated psychosocial care to survivors of the devastating tsunami in 2004. The scale of loss was unimaginable, and the responses designed to assist those affected most came from external sources. And there I noticed a strong rise of trauma healing activities and projects, and with that, the trauma discourse. My interest continued in the research area of social trauma, while I delved also into the studies of human rights, violence, conflict, and peace. But again, I faced similar frustrations, which often resulted in me arguing in the corner against what I perceived as universalistic and reductionist views from my fellow colleagues. It was the need to contextualize psychological as well as other concepts that have direct impacts on people's lives, and the need to explore other subjectivities and experiences that eventually brought me to social and cultural and psychological anthropology. But it's not the tensions between the universalistic and relativistic approaches that I want to emphasize here with my input. Although I do believe that this remains an important contribution that we as psychological anthropologists can bring to discussion tables through our ethnographic evidence. But it's more the question of how we can move beyond this focus of arguing and criticizing against universalistic or reductionist views. The background to this roundtable states that the assumption that Western-derived psychological and biopsychiatric insights are imposed on other social groups no longer holds absolute truth, or at least it is open to debate. And I agree, and this is much due to the efforts and critical works of people in this panel and beyond this panel. But I do wish to highlight that by sharing my journey into this subfield as a non-European anthropologist, the ongoing relevance of this statement on the ways knowledge in psychological anthropology is produced. So I was trying to wrap my finger around this, and I wanted to write about how psychological concepts are imposed without much reflection. But then when I was writing the script, I realized that my experience in the way psychological concepts and interventions were imparted was not as unidirectional as it may have first appeared. through the chain of collaborations that that I went through. For example, in the NGO works that I did, we would usually have a Western psychologist coming in and training us through different concepts and interventions, and then we as urban psychologists would go to the field to a more localized settings where we would train local psychologists or local counselors, and then at the end we bring this to the survivors or the beneficiaries of the project. So there's this sort of chain of how psychological knowledge is imparted. And then I wanted to criticize that because there is a level of unreflexivity that comes to it. But in hindsight, it was actually an opportunity that we were given to discuss our views on globalized concepts. And this was something that I took for granted, and I'd like to highlight that that there was a chance that was given. The process of multidirectional interpretations, when added with a degree of reflexivity, produces more context-informed psychological insights. And psychologists and psychiatrists alike, whom I've worked with in Indonesia, they like to come and ask me, I'd like to pick your brains on this issue. And I would gladly do so, but then it also results in a more nuanced contribution to their field, while me now doing my approach in psychological anthropology, I realized that is something that I lacked, at least when I was doing fieldwork, this resource that can be mobilized with more confidence of working together with local anthropologists, not local psychologists, but also local anthropologists. People I work with in Timor-Leste and Indonesia rarely know that there is a subfield called psychological anthropology, and this could be something that this platform could encourage to excite younger scholars from non-Western context and work together with them to add nuance in our anthropological findings. So this is one way I imagine the ENPA can move forward, is by strengthening collaboration with fellow psychological anthropologists in non-European contexts, and to pay more attention and make transparent the chain of epistemic collaborations we go through. It's necessary to have this network to foster dialogue and cooperation among the European Society of Psychological Anthropologists, but also to encourage growth of interest in anthropologically derived psychological insights among scholars and practitioners in the various contexts we work in. Thank you.